1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 10 through 18. So Samuel spoke all the words of the Lord to the people who had asked of him a king. He said, "This will be the procedure of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and place them for himself in his chariots and among his horsemen, and they will run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and fifties, and some to do his plowing, and to reap his harvest, and to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will also take of your daughters for perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give them to his officers and to his servants. He will take of your male servants and your female servants and your best young men and your donkeys and use them for his work. He will take a tenth of your flocks and you yourself will become his servants. Then you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day." Welcome to the program God and Country, Ministry of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. On today's program, I would like to look at Romney Care and the socialist vision for America. Last week, Mitt Romney, former governor of Massachusetts and front-running Republican for the 2012 presidential election, gave a speech at the University of Michigan explaining the healthcare system he established in the state of Massachusetts. It was an insurance mandate system like President Obama's healthcare plan. Everyone in the state of Massachusetts was required to buy health insurance. And if you could not afford health insurance, the state would supplement your payments. The complaint coming from the Republican Party and the Tea Party is that Mitt Romney is running to be the Republican candidate for president. And he put in place in his state the basic features of Obamacare. There are some differences, but both require everyone to buy insurance. The Democrats are saying, see, even the Republican candidate, Mitt Romney, agrees with the principles of Obamacare. And it's Obamacare's government intervention in healthcare that the Republicans claim is not only anti-American, but will ruin the American healthcare system. Romney Care is Obamacare. So many Republicans insist that this disqualifies Mitt Romney from being the Republican candidate for president in 2012. That's the background. Let me encourage you to Google Mitt Romney's healthcare speech at the University of Michigan. Listen to his arguments. He's a very convincing speaker. Now, here's the gist of his support for his Massachusetts healthcare program. They had a problem in their state. 6% of the people were uninsured. That amounts to 500,000 people. And those who had health insurance could easily lose their health insurance if they changed jobs or became unemployed. Mitt Romney asked the audience, "I don't know how many people in this room have lived without health insurance. It is a frightening experience. I had 500,000 people who I was elected to serve who were frightened because they didn't have insurance. By my plan, we now have 400,000 people insured who were not previously insured. And those who are already insured don't have to worry about losing their insurance." Mitt Romney said in his speech that the way the system used to work in Massachusetts was a problem. Many people realize that they could get health care without insurance. According to federal law and the Hippocratic Oath, hospitals and doctors must treat people even if they cannot pay. This is called the free rider problem. Citizens who could afford insurance did not buy insurance. Those who are healthy and young did not feel the need for insurance, and the healthy were not paying into the insurance system to support the sick. So the state of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney says, had three choices. Give no treatment to free riders, but that's considered unethical and against federal law. Second, have the taxpayers pay for those who get seriously sick without insurance. But Romney went on to say that that's big government. That is the large taxes approach. So they opted for the third approach, personal responsibility. By law, everyone in the state has to buy their own insurance. Everyone has to be personally responsible. Now, immediately, this sounds like the Christian thing to do for most people. This is looking out after your brother. This is shared responsibility, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfilling the law of Christ. And there are 100 or so verses that could be pulled out of the Bible to support Romney Care. And Mitt Romney's defense of Romney Care sounds very convincing, very conservative, very just, very reasonable. But this is the kind of issue I like to take on in our program. Those policies or programs that appear to be just and charitable, but are biblically wrong. Those ideologies and philosophies that fool not only the secularist, but also fool the Christian community when the Christian community is not fully informed on the teachings of Scripture. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul writes about the deceptive nature of wrong policy and ideology. Colossians 2, 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." And what I want us to see in this verse is that error is deceptive. It is not always apparent to the average person. It is empty deception. If it was clear that it was a lie, nobody would believe it. What struck me about Romney's speech was his sincerity, his honesty. He was completely convinced of the justice of what he did in Massachusetts. Now, Mitt Romney is a Mormon. He worked as a Mormon missionary in Europe. He is a pro-family conservative like most Mormons. But does he know the Bible? I don't think so. Like many people in religion, he has a mere superficial knowledge of the Bible. Like those who take general principles of the Bible, like love your neighbor, and then apply them to their own agenda. Love your neighbor could be applied by someone to mean fascism, or communism, or free love, or even adultery. The true Christian looks for the limits and the true application of these general principles in the didactic teachings of Scripture. These are the teachings that many people are unaware of. But it's through a superficial knowledge of God and the Bible that people fall into the pit of error. They will always believe they are supporting justice, fairness, charity, and communism and socialism spreads on this basis. But there are fundamental biblical principles that are violated in these ideologies. You know, as an example of the deception of ideologies, I began this program by reading the prophet Samuel's rebuke of Israel for choosing a king. That the king will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and of 50, and some to do his plowing and reap his harvest and to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take of your daughters for perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves. He will take your male servants and your female servants, and your best young men and your donkeys, and use them for his work. Now, Samuel meant this as a rebuke. But I know of many socialists who would say that this would be a great thing. The king would be creating jobs. They would be perfumers and cooks and bakers for the government. And the government taking the best fields would best utilize these fields. And what would be wrong with the government taking from wealthy citizens 10% of their vineyards to support government services? And what would be wrong with the best young men and the best donkeys being used for government service? There are many who believe in a Keynesian economic system, which teaches that the government is responsible to create full employment, that the government should take over doing what we can do better together than we can do as an individual. Then better than having any unemployment, it would be better for the government to create government jobs where people dig holes and then fill them back in. So the very thing Samuel rebukes, there is a whole body of socialists who would support it. But notice Samuel's final rebuke. "Then you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." In practice, the ideology of socialism and big government will bring about oppression and poverty. Now, many people don't understand the theological reasons why socialism is wrong. They argue against it for utilitarian reasons. They know that when the government touches things, it creates waste and a bureaucratic class of freeloaders. And Obamacare and RomneyCare is soundly rebuked on a utilitarian level. After Romney's speech, the Wall Street Journal posted a scathing editorial on RomneyCare, saying that Mitt Romney in his speech left off all of the bad news about his program. It didn't save costs. The help to the uninsured was very little. Healthcare premiums for everyone went up. In the end, the numbers were moved around on paper, but healthcare is still the same or worse in Massachusetts. The uninsured rate only dropped from 6% to 2%. There are still uninsured people. Of all those now getting new insurance in Massachusetts, 4/5 are receiving it at low cost or no cost from the state. It cost the state almost $1 billion in 2011, and that cost is growing at 5% per year. Total state health care spending as a share of the budget has grown from 16% in 1980, 30% in 2006, to 40% today. The national average is 25%. RomneyCare is not saving any money and is extremely expensive. The journal goes on to write that RomneyCare did not help the hospitals. Uncompensated hospital costs rose 5% from 2008 to 2009 and 15% from 2009 to 2010. Avoidable use of emergency rooms, that is for routine care like a sore throat, increased 9% between 2004 and 2008. Meanwhile, unsubsidized insurance premiums for individuals and small businesses have climbed to among the highest in the nation. The editorial goes on to attack not just the utilitarian problem with RomneyCare, but the ideological problem. Although states with healthcare problems blame the free market system, the problem with Massachusetts healthcare was created years earlier by government intervention in healthcare. State regulations on insurance companies and mandates that insurance cover certain procedures sent coverage skyrocketing, which priced many people out, which created this pool of uninsured people. The journal writes, like Mr. Obama's reform, RomneyCare was predicated on the illusion that insurance would be less expensive if everyone were covered. Even if this theory were plausible, it's not true in Massachusetts today. So as costs continue to climb, Mr. Romney's Democratic successor now wants to create a central board of political appointees to decide how much doctors and hospitals should be paid for thousands of services. The journal continues, the Romney camp blames all of this failure on execution, not design. But by this cause and effect standard, Mr. Romney could push someone out of an airplane and blame the ground for killing him. Once government takes on the direct or implicit liability of paying for health care for everyone, the only way to afford it is through raw political control of all medical decisions. Mr. Romney's refusal to appreciate this then and now reveals a troubling failure of political understanding and principle. The raucous national debate over health care isn't about this or that technocratic detail, but about the basic differences over the role of government. In the current debate over Medicare, Paul Ryan wants to reduce costs by encouraging private competition, while Mr. Obama wants cost-cutting done by a body of unelected experts like the one emerging in Massachusetts. Unquote. Now, let me just take a moment to discuss what is practically wrong with the Massachusetts healthcare plan. It is the belief that insurance is the solution when, in fact, insurance is the problem. Medical costs in America used to be reasonable. A night in the hospital would amount to 1 or 2 days of average wages. Now, if you go to the hospital, it costs between $5,000 and $10,000 a day. Why? Insurance gives people the ability to pay more for service than they would normally be able to pay or want to pay. Rather than people saying, well, that price is ridiculous, I will go to a less expensive healthcare facility, or I really don't need that procedure, the patient doesn't care because the insurance will pay for it. People are not price sensitive with private insurance or government insurance. Case in point, my father was in the hospital with a stroke. The speech therapist came in for an evaluation. I knew that my father's speech was not affected by the stroke, and he did not need extensive speech therapy. And I am sure that the speech therapist was billing between $500 and $1,000 just for the evaluation. I asked the therapist, "How much do you charge for this evaluation? Shouldn't you tell me that before you start the procedure?" She said that in all of her years, nobody has ever asked that question. Patients don't care. The insurance or Medicare pays the bill. People are not price sensitive with insurance. In fact, they feel compelled and justified to overuse healthcare services to get their money's worth out of all the premiums or the taxes that they have paid. The more insurance, the more people overutilize healthcare services. As a pastor, I have done hospital visits for over 25 years. And what I have seen is that when someone else pays, people soak the system. For example, Medicare will pay for about 50 to 100 days in a rehab facility after a major incident. I've spoken with elderly people who love staying at these rehab facilities. Their meals are made for them. They have people to talk to and care for them. And their families love these places and these nursing homes because they're like babysitting services to take the burden off of them in taking care of their aging parents. So the government pays thousands of dollars for the elderly to sit in these beds and get a few exercises from rehab specialists. But if it wasn't for Medicare, most families would take care of their elderly parents themselves and would bring rehab people into their own homes. I can't count how many families have said to me, "We don't want to spend our parents' money on their health care. That's our inheritance." I have also seen, and many healthcare professionals quietly agree with me on this, that most healthcare is really unnecessary. Now, everything helps. Even having a rehab specialist help you squeeze a rubber ball helps. But given the cost, most of the procedures are unproductive. And the fallacy is to think that big hospital systems, insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies don't want government intervention. They want free enterprise. Absolutely not. Most companies would love for the government to require everyone to buy their services or products. Economists have written volumes about how big business wants to be wedded with government. You see, in the free market system, you have to make a product that people want, a product that's affordable. You're subject to competition. And in the free market, because of this, you can never make huge profits. But if you can have the government mandate that everyone buys your product, that's a windfall. If you have government mandates and the insurance that you're offering gets too expensive, people cannot vote with their feet. They have to still buy your product. And if people complain to the government about the higher prices or the higher taxes, the healthcare industry can negotiate with the government to keep the prices of their services at an optimal level. That's a lot easier than being in the free market, where to make a living, you have to deliver good products with good results. I really believe that if we go back to the system we had years ago, where there was no insurance, there was no Medicare, I guarantee you healthcare would be cheaper today. And all of the money that is spent on healthcare would go to the doctors and not to the insurance company executives, their management, their facilities, which act as middlemen. Doctors today have to hire whole staffs just to fill out the insurance reimbursement forms. We were better off with the old system where people paid up front for the healthcare they needed. And if they couldn't afford it, the doctor would set up payment schedules. For those few who could afford very little, the doctors would give a reduced rate. For those who could afford nothing, plenty of doctors did charity care. But the bureaucrats, those who live off of government, those with a socialist mindset, make their living on collecting the money from you and distributing it back to you because they tell you people are too ignorant to take care of themselves. As in the Social Security system, you are too ignorant to save for your own retirement, for your own hardships. The government needs to collect the money from everyone and then give it back to you when you retire. Now, who came up with that idea? The socialist collectivists. Roosevelt saw that some of the elderly and some of the disabled did not have money, And rather than come up with a plan that made families responsible for taking care of their own parents, their own brothers, their own sisters, he came up with a plan that government would take care of what the Bible teaches belongs to the institution of the family. The production, the savings, the responsibilities would be given to the king. He will take of your daughters for perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take of the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your seed and your vineyard and give them to his officers and to his servants. He will also take of your male servants and your female servants and your best young men and your donkeys and use them for his work. It all has to go through government. Now, what is biblically wrong with Romney Care or Obamacare? Does the Bible really have to say anything about this? Or has God just left this up to us to decide based upon pragmatic considerations? And what is the Christian to think about all this political policy? Is this something we should comment on at all? Is government intervention into the responsibilities God has given to the individual or to the family or to the church something that should concern us? I've thought long and hard about this because I want to be careful to be biblical. And one of the concerns Christians have is that the Bible does not have passages that say directly, "Thou shall not have the government run healthcare." But even though the Bible doesn't have a specific verse, I believe that the Bible is clear enough about the issue to warn Christians, warning the people of our land about government control. Francis Schaeffer, the great conservative evangelical Christian thinker of our generation, described it well. He said that social communism is a Christian heresy. It uses all the terms of Christianity, charity, justice, kindness, but on the foundation of humanism and on the foundation of man's dominance. The true biblical worldview of government is that government is to be limited in its scope. The empires of man are described in the Bible as terrible beasts that oppress, devour, trample, and crush. Daniel chapter 7. The Bible emphasizes that people are to be personally responsible for their own welfare. If any man does not work, neither should he eat. If any man does not provide for his own, he is worse than an infidel. The widow and the elderly should not even be supported by the church unless they are righteous and unless they have no family to take care of them, 1 Timothy 5. But the government of man, those individuals who love to control others, in a quest for more and more power, always want to overstep their bounds and replace the institution of the church and the family and the individual with the institution of government. And in the end, we see that the Antichrist will not allow anyone to buy or sell unless they are part of the government system. Revelation 13:16. And you see that the basic philosophy of Christianity is always limited government, individual freedom and responsibility. Charity toward the poor and the sick begins with the individual and the family. The state does not need to take on these responsibilities, but the state should be a cheerleader for private charities. People come to the state looking for a solution to these problems. The leaders of the state should say, "Well, you know, that's a real problem, and I guess you private folks need to do something about it." But statists, socialists, collectivists seek more power and more solutions in government. The other day I picked up William Buckley's first book, 1951, God and Man at Yale. This is the book that propelled William F. Buckley into the limelight and began his career as the premier conservative thinker in America for the last 50 years. In this book, Buckley uncovers the liberalism that he saw at Yale in the 1950s. He gives account of all of the teachers who were teaching secular atheism, liberal theology, socialism. And it's no wonder that our society has gone astray because 50 years ago, at these Ivy League schools, there was the abandonment of Christian principles. But one of the points you can see in Buckley's account is that once the Christian worldview was abandoned, immediately the political ideology went from the individual to the collective, from the free market to socialism. Why? I believe it was happening on a subconscious level. Once you abandon God, the hope of Christ, the goal of the world to evangelize, the purpose of life to glorify God, the heart and the mind of the unbeliever immediately leans toward confidence in man and in the government of man. If your hope is not in God, your hope is in man and in humanism and the collective power of man represented by government. And in the book, God and Man at Yale, William Buckley has a chapter about how individualism is gone at Yale. He writes, "If there is a student who believes in enterprise, self-reliance, independence, it is only because he has not listened to the teachers who disparage individuals, glorify government, enshrine security, and discourage self-reliance." Now, what I believe is going on spiritually is that when man leaves God, there is great insecurity. And that security has to be found somewhere. And it's found in government, and it's found in materialism. The quality of life is judged by how much materialism and how much security you have in this world. While the Christian society operates on different priorities and has a different basis for judging success. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, we seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things are added to us. Mitt Romney said in his speech that living without health insurance is a frightening experience, and that he had 500,000 people who he was elected to serve who are frightened because they have no insurance. Now, I believe that insecurity is heightened in a society that becomes more and more non-Christian. The non-Christian is always seeking to find security in the empires of man or in collectivism. And this is the whole concept of social security. The name tells it all. You find your security in the society. And it's not that Christians don't believe in social responsibility, but when a society becomes ungodly, their seeking of security in the social becomes too much. Give us a king to fight the battles for us. And God says to the prophet Samuel, "Don't you realize, Samuel, they've rejected me?" Here are some excerpts from the book God and Man at Yale. Buckley writes, "I believe the net influence of Yale economics to be thoroughly collectivistic. The professors don't believe in a violent communistic overthrow, but a slow increase of state power through extended social services, taxation, and regulation to the point where smooth transition could be effected from an individualist to a collectivist society. There is a slow but relentless transfer of power from the individual to the state. And the excuse that is being used at Yale to justify moving America away from individual freedoms to socialism is the same excuse that is used today, that these are changing times. In our modern world, our forefathers' vision of individual rights is not workable. We have new problems and the nature of our economy has changed." But that's a lie. The nature of things really never changes. Buckley goes on to write, "Cradle-to-grave security has great popularity. If the private economy cannot supply it, naturally people will insist upon getting it artificially from government." Now, all this was being taught to the future leaders of America in the 1950s. No wonder there are so many Americans who support big government socialism today. And what is behind Obamacare and Romneycare is something spiritual. The reason the Bible doesn't read as a political science textbook, telling us directly which government policy is right or wrong in the specifics, is because, first, God expects you to think, not to be spoon-fed. And second, the heart and the values is the real thing God is after. Change your reliance and faith in man, and the policies will naturally change for the good. But when the people forsake their trust in the Lord and want a king to fight their battles, they will choose bad policy. And they will cry out to the Lord when the oppression that they have chosen comes to fruition. You know, I was speaking to someone the other day who said she was discussing with a Jewish woman Obama and his socialist communist background from his parents. The Jewish woman was offended and said, "Well, I'm a socialist." When I heard this, I thought, here's a Jewish woman who says she is a socialist. How much individual freedom is she willing to give up for the society? Can she really defend her positions morally, biblically? And she says she's a socialist. The Nazi Party in the German language is the title for the National Socialist Party. Hitler and his party mandated all sorts of regulations on businesses. They believed in Social Security, national health care, all sorts of government-run programs. And the people gave their personal responsibilities over to this man and his promise to take care of them and redistribute the wealth. And what they got showed the world never to trust man, never to trust government power. And yet people today still believe the lie of socialism, that it's justice and charity for the government to take care of your education, your health care, your retirement, your unemployment. Now, at this point, there are going to be some who say, well, if we don't have Obamacare, if we don't have Romney care, what's the alternative? Can individuals do better without looking to the state? I have a webpage link posted next to this program on the God and Country website. It is Dr. Alita Eck's Alternative to Government Healthcare. She is my personal physician, and she and her husband, in addition to running their own office, run the Zarephath Health Clinic for those who are poor. She is also an advocate for privatizing healthcare. In this open letter, she describes how her system would fix the healthcare problems we have in America. You need to read the whole piece. But one notable fact that she mentions is that while her healthcare clinic costs about $58,000 a year to operate, the state has its own healthcare center in the next town that has a yearly budget of $14 million, all paid for by the taxpayers. For the amount it costs to fund one government healthcare clinic, we could fund 250 clinics like our own. And I submit that the patients would get better, more personalized care. Then she goes on to list many of the patients who have come to the clinic who were treated inexpensively compared to the thousands of dollars the state would have poured into these individuals. For example, a 34-year-old woman came in with palpitations and a tender thyroid with no risk factors for heart disease. We gave her medicine to slow her heart and had her come back the next day, where our volunteer retired cardiologist saw her and confirmed the diagnosis. She was 100% better. The charity system was saved probably $10,000, as a visit to the ER would have triggered that much in advance cardiac testing. The X plan for private clinics to help the poor would certainly work wonders. But the bureaucrats and the healthcare workers who have their hand in the till would not want to see the X clinic plan come about, because they do want millions spent on healthcare. But the truth is, people survive quite well without insurance. Healthcare doesn't have to be that expensive. Healthcare insurance people and big hospitals want to make you think you need to spend tens of thousands of dollars to have security and to have adequate healthcare. But in reality, most care can be given very cheaply, and the doctors really don't have expensive magic medicine to cure all. Some closing caveats. If Massachusetts or any state or the federal government passes socialized medicine, it is still God's will and all things work together for good. But don't confuse God's authority over government and God's blessing on his people with the issue of right and wrong. It was still God's will for the Israelites to be oppressed with a king, but that would not have been the perfect will for the nation if the people were righteous. The punishment and restraint of the king is exactly what the ungodly needed. And certainly God will give the punishment or blessing that America needs. Nevertheless, we need to communicate to the people the perfect will of God for a righteous people. Now, would I love to have the government foot the bill for my medical expenses and give me the security that if I ever got sick, the state would pay my bill? Certainly. But my beliefs and my policy decisions, my vote for candidates is not based upon personal gain, but on what is right and what's moral and what's biblical. And though it would be easier for me, I find in Scripture that I should pay my own bills. But wouldn't it be good for the state to mandate health insurance so that people would take responsibility for their own health care? This is the reason given by Mitt Romney. His error is the assumption that you need insurance and you need to pay big insurance company executives and managers their big salary to redistribute health care dollars for everyone. But the fact is that you can still be personally responsible when you pay for the bills yourself without having insurance. You can have a health savings program. You can make payments. You can find cheaper health care on your own and still be a responsible individual. But to be fair to Mitt Romney, at least he is against a health insurance program at the federal level. He is totally opposed to Obamacare because he believes each state should be able to decide what serves their people the best. The states are meant to be laboratories of democratic policies, and the states are meant to compete with each other. It's the Obama administration, the left wing of the Democratic Party, that has a distrust in free enterprise and a distrust of state power. Now, I share all of these things with you, my brethren, that you may be an informed and a knowledgeable Christian, that you would know not only the underlying philosophies of secularism and where it leads, but the principles of Christianity and how they're to be applied practically in national policy. Now, please don't write or call me and tell me that I'm neglecting the gospel for politics or that I'm trying to make the kingdom of God on earth. Of course, the gospel comes first. Everything that I've just shared should amount to only 1% of your Christian life and thought, personal salvation, child rearing, being a good spouse, using your gifts, your worship, your charity, all come first. This program is to educate you in one small application of Christian living. And that application, if neglected, will result in an ignorant Christian community that will allow for tyrants, dictators, and persecutors of the church to arise. Don't be a Christian who is ignorant of these things, or afraid of the issues, or one who doesn't care about the issues. Don't simply say, it will all work out, we don't need to do anything or have any opinions. We are told in Scripture to do good to all men, and that includes teaching our neighbor the path to God's blessing and success, even here on earth. May God's will be done on earth, even as in heaven. Thank you for listening. Email me with ideas, comments, insights, suggestions. Let's close in prayer. Father, through this whole discussion, we see again how people turn to man rather than to you. The failure of the Israelites in choosing an earthly king to fight their battles rather than looking to you is repeated in every generation, in the life of every individual. Help your people to be aware of this error and how it plays out in real life. May we not resort to the fears and the solutions of the world. Bless your people with the knowledge of your will. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.